We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. And welcome to this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast, where Lindsay and I are really excited because we've got a lovely guest, Nicola from Silk Jasmine. First of all, if we could just say hi, Nicola.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're really, really happy that you could make it. It's a very busy time of year. We're currently recording in Christmas time, but this will obviously go out in the new year. But yeah, at the moment, we're all a bit frantic. Yeah. So, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast, whether it is on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. And if you also haven't done so already, please do leave us a review. It really does help get the word out there so we can reach more lovely people like yourselves. So without further ado then, if we could just get stuck into the questions. So Nicola, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you live now, a bit about your family, etc.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, my name's Nicola. I was born in Newmarket in Suffolk, and now I live in a village just north of Cambridge. So I have two children, Josh, who's 22, and he's just finished his degree, and then Jasmine, who's 19, she's just started at university. So yeah, I've always enjoyed crafting, and I think this came mainly from my mum and my gran sort of growing up. So my mum used to make my own clothes, and I sort of remember as a child being, you know, taught how to knit and sewing and crafting and sort of making things. So yeah, I think that's where that sort of interest and side has come from.
Oh, that's lovely to hear that you've kind of been crafting for such a long time, how it started off. Nicola, I think that's how a lot of us do start off. You know, obviously some people come to it later, like Anna's came to it later, you know, as an adult, but I think it's really lovely when you get that spark as a child and you just have that passion for making. So it's great to hear that. So I'd love you just to share a little bit now about, you know, what you do make and what is your favorite thing to make. So let's hear a little bit more about that side of things for your business.
Yeah, so I make mulberry silk accessories for women and now for children as well. So I first started making just simple scrunchies, and then the business just grew from there, really. So I wouldn't say I really have a favourite thing to make. I'm quite impatient. So before that, I was making clothes as well. And I just used to always sort of cut steps out because I was just so desperate to sort of get the finished thing. So I am quite impatient. I mean, it's lovely, you know, once you have created that beautiful sleep mask, but or the pillowcases, but they take so much time. So I think I actually probably just enjoy making the scrunchies and the skinny sort of scrunchy bands that I can just, yeah, produce lots and get lots done. So yeah, just the simple things really, just out of pure impatience.
I think a lot of us can relate to that. I have to say as well, sewing with silk, I can imagine, you know, I have got a sewing machine and I do little bits of it, and it's quite a challenge, isn't it? And
it
I
is.
Don't use the same kind of silk as yours because they can be all a bit slippery on your sewing machine, can't they? And delicate.
Yeah, it really does take a lot of getting used to. It's not, in fact, when I then went back recently just to making something out of cotton or just making the, I think actually it was the cotton, it was the inner pillows for the eye pillows, just going back to cotton and thinking, wow, this is so quick. and then I realised actually how much my skills have improved and then moving on to silk, because yeah, it takes quite a lot of prep time, sort of just having to layer up sort of tissue paper and yeah, just taking pinning a lot more, whereas when you get confident with cotton you can just, you know, do it without pins and it's so quick. But yeah, it does take quite a lot of practice and time to get used to sewing with silk, definitely.
Yeah,
Well, I actually purchased one of your heatless curlers a few weeks ago for my friend's 31st birthday. And the reason actually that I wanted to buy from you, not only just because I wanted to celebrate a fellow handmade business owner, but also because my friend has completely revitalized their life and she's only putting goodness inside of herself, whether that's with drinking more water and eating healthier and, you know, going out to the gym and walking her dogs more and all those kinds of things. But she's also taking so much care of her hair. She has the most gorgeous Rapunzel locks that I've ever seen. I mean, it's, they're past her bum at this point. And they're absolutely gorgeous. And she's obviously straightened her hair and curled her hair and blow dried her hair. And I thought, you know what, seeing as you're on this journey, I will gift you these curlers so that you know, so that you can take everything that you've been doing to the rest of your body and you can do it to your hair. And she was absolutely delighted. And the packaging and everything, just your little bags. And oh, I thought the whole thing, great branding, absolutely amazing. So yeah, just wanted to mention that.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I also found it really funny though where you said that you you wanted to cut some steps out before you get to things, because that's I think a lot of people that are very impatient when they're crafters, they would like to get to the end result or the certain bits of it. So yeah, I just thought that that was very funny. So going back to Silk Jasmine as the business, What was the kind of clincher? What was the thing that made you start the handmade business?
I think so. I started sewing just and having a sewing machine, just really because I'm only 5'2" and I was so fed up of like spending £10 every time I had to like shorten my trousers or jeans. And then, yeah, just grew from there, really, from sort of getting into dressmaking. And then, you know, it's like with time and children and work, everything, and just it got tucked away and, yeah, never really got it, you know, got the sewing machine out for a few years. And then it was actually during the first lockdown. So I was making scrubs, dusted the sewing machine off to make scrubs for my local hospital. So we were having sort of local friends, family, and I put a little message out on social media as well, and people were dropping off sort of duvets and pillowcases to me. And so I'm making scrubs. So my cousin is a physio at one of our local hospitals. And I got kind of people dropping it off and making masks. And then I think I realized then just sort of how much I got out of it, really. It's just, it's a real switch off. I'd had some like ill health as well, and found that, you know, when you just focus on something and you're learning, you know, new hobbies and new ways, that you really just forget about everything else. And so it kept us busy, you know, as well as all the kind of, you know, like the bread making and all the exercising, everything we were doing. It was just gave some sort of real focus for the day. And then previously I'd had a huge stash of fabric. I think, you know, once you're a crafter, you get a bit carried away and you end up with just all sorts of stuff, and huge piles of fabric that it was like, oh, I'll use that one day. And then, so I actually started making, I'd got quite a lot of jersey and cotton. I was making headbands and scrunchies from that. But I'm actually from a hair and sort of beauty background originally. So I've done a lot of skincare, worked with a lot of skincare companies, and then started to read really about the benefits of silk for both for the skin and the hair. And so just ordered some silk and, yeah, started playing around with making scrunchies, and it just really grew quite quickly from there. I quite like that social media sort of techie side of it as well. And so looked in, you know, to building a website, and yeah, just put all that time really that I'd got off. I was only off for a month, so I did go back and have to teach sort of key stage bubbles in school. But yeah, that's where it came from. That's how the business started.
I love to hear that. Isn't it great, Anna?
Yes, it is. I just wanted to ask, actually, because I saw you wrote in your notes and you just mentioned it again there. So what is it that you used to do in the past with health and beauty?
So I was a beauty therapist. Yeah. So I worked in salons for about 10 years and worked with sort of Clarins and Dermalogica, did a lot of wedding makeup and, yeah, just so the full range of beauty treatments. And then I taught beauty for a short time as well in the regional college. But at that point, my daughter was not getting on with a childminder. So my son was at school. My daughter was with a childminder. She wasn't well. So I'm celiac. And at that point, we didn't know, but she turned out to be the same, and she was having lots of problems with her stomach and not well. And so the childminder was sort of phoning me, and she was screaming and really unhappy. So yeah, I didn't do that for very long, and then had a bit of time out from that. But I've always loved that, you know, that side of things with skincare and beauty and hair as well. So I did like a year of hairdressing and then 3 years of beauty before I started working in salons. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's really, it's really kind of nice to hear that that kind of has influenced, you know, what you make now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's come kind of full. Yeah, as a link to, you know, to that side of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when I see your makes, Nicola, they just look, it just says so much luxury. I think because of you've chosen just to sort of use the silk, it just looks, and you know, on your Instagram page, it looks amazing. It really does.
Thank you.
And the colours as well. They also scream luxury. The colours of the actual products.
Yeah.
It's all, perfect.
Yeah, sort of soft, muted colours. It's just, perfect. So obviously when you run a business, there's always challenges. So what do you feel has probably been your sort of biggest business challenge or sort of struggle to date, do you think, Nicola?
Definitely time. I had, you know, time on my hands when I started it, and I'm a bit of an all or nothing person as well. So at that time, I put everything kind of into it, and then I had to go back to work and thought, what am I doing? You know, how am I going to do this? So definitely just time management and juggling everything. So so I work, I teach full time, and as well as the teaching at the school, I'm also something called an ELSA. So I provide all the emotional support for the children. Time, you know, coming home and then having orders, and obviously that being an amazing thing, but then, you know, just sort of working 12, 13, 14 hours a day really to come home and then work weekends. So it took over a little bit.
Yeah, it's always a challenge, isn't it? That you know, that whole time thing, just and getting that balance right. I think a lot of people will relate to that.
Are you still making scrubs as well for the hospital?
No,
that's amazing though that you did that too.
Yeah, no, that did stop. There was a big group that sort of set up in Cambridge, and I felt like I'd contributed, and then it seemed that they had luckily so much help. So yeah, I did step back from that.
Yeah.
So obviously you've spoken there about all the different things that you're doing, and obviously you're a mum as well. I know your children are older, but they still need their mum. Absolutely.
They do. Emotionally more than anything. Or financially. Well, yeah.
Actually as well, I just wanted to say, an ELSA, did you say, is that emotional something?
So it's emotional literacy support advisor. So it's a fairly new role in schools. But it is in secondary and sadly in primary as well. So it's just supporting children with anxiety, anger, depression, sadly, which is, you know, we are, you know, now seeing that in primary schools, probably just because we're better at noticing it. But so that's my role. I do 10 hours of that in the week. And it's just educating really around, you know, I'm supported by an educational psychologist over the cases. So it's quite sad at times, but rewarding as well. So just educating them really around their emotions and supporting them with strategies to help manage, you know, whatever it is that they're struggling with.
The fact that the acronym is ELSA.
Yes,
really, I just
I have to explain when I say to children that I'm Elsa, and they look, I haven't got a blue dress, not currently blonde, but
although you do have lovely long hair though.
I'll have to dress up.
But obviously juggling all those things, you had made business, like you say, you're working full time, you're an Elsa, you've got parent, you know, your parent as well, and you obviously looking after the house, I'm sure, on some levels too.
Yeah, trying.
You're obviously having to juggle a lot of things, and you've still got to put a lot of energy into each thing. You know, you can't really let anything fall. So what has helped you most in your business to make sure that you don't drop any plates, which inevitably will happen, but what has helped you?
Yeah, definitely drop plates. Note taking is how I survive, really. I just write notes for everything, you know, whether that's personal life notes and business notes, and just prioritize. And I've just got better at not, you know, being hard on myself and not getting to the end of that list. It just constantly gets moved over, and then the list, you know, gets longer. I'm getting better at asking for help now as well. So my mum is now helping with the kind of the sewing side of things. And that's helped an awful lot. So yeah, mainly just list taking, and if I could get better at it, planning, so that I can just post and keep up that social media side of things without just feeling like I'm constantly winging it and thinking, oh, haven't posted, what can I post? And it's just a pretty pointless post. So yeah, I need to get better at planning. I'm sure planning ahead will help.
I'm sure so many people will relate to it, you know, all what you've shared. And you can never have too many notes, I don't think.
And just by the way as well, your Instagram is stunning. It's for somebody who said, quote, they're winging it, you certainly don't look like you're winging it.
That's good.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
I have no social media posts like planned now at all. It's just something I put off all the time. It's been on that list for so long, and I just, because I sit down and I think, what do I post about? So even my latest reel was just, yeah, I looked at it and just thought, God, that's naff. That's just ticking a box.
Well, but it never looks like that from
that's
an
great
outside
to know.
Perspective.
Like, yes. Yeah, we are always our own worst critic.
Absolutely.
But for anyone else looking in, I think they'll look at your Instagram, Nicola, and that will create a completely different picture to them. You know, there are obviously all the challenges in business, as we've said. Have you kind of had anything what you'd class as a failure in your business? And if so, how did you deal with that?
Not really a fail. I wouldn't consider it a failure. I think there's nothing really that I've just been absolutely traumatized by and thought, well, that was a huge mistake. Just little things, really, you know, and learning, you know, by your mistakes. I think maybe costing things as well, I struggle with, but no, it's just really sort of beating myself up for kind of not progressing or doing as much as I like to. Like, I've got lots of ideas, and just, yeah, being frustrated that I can't grow it and do as much as I can. But nothing that's been like an ultimate fail where I've, you know, wasted money or you know, done anything like that. So,
well, that's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I've kind of kept back really from, you know, I haven't sort of paid anything for advertising yet. They're all things that I want to do, but no, nothing that I really consider just a real failure as such.
Yeah, well, I think paying for advertising, though, I think that's something that a lot of just businesses in general, handmade or not, they, you know, they feel that they require the advertising. But I think as well, focusing on organic growth.
Yeah,
I think, and you're obviously doing that well. You've got a supportive social media platform, so I always think that focusing on that, the advertising can certainly come later.
Yeah,
not a necessity.
No.
What date did you say you started your business? Oh, you know, you said in lockdown, but there were so many. First lockdown,
yeah. And then the website went live in August. I don't remember the exact date now, but yeah, middle of August, the actual website went live.
Yeah, a year and a bit. Yeah. So in that time, what would you say has been the best part for you? What's been your high point?
I think when I was asked by a local magazine to have an article in there, so that felt really, really special. Yeah, I think it all, you know, little old me, like in, you know, in a magazine. That felt really good. And then just people approaching me, really, just local shops. And so in a village that I used to live in, there's a gift shop, and I sort of noticed them online and just liked their page, and then they contacted me and said they'd like my products in the shop. And a couple of sort of online places as well have asked to stock it, and so that always feels really nice. And just the compliments as well feel, yeah, that feels really good. So, and asking to be on podcasts as well, I mean, that's always very special.
Do you sell them not on the high street?
No, I haven't done that yet. I have looked into it. In fact, it was someone local on my estate who I was having some problems with, sort of the back office on my website, and just got really stuck with something. And we've got like a really helpful sort of WhatsApp group for the estate I live on, and I just like, don't suppose anyone knows how to do this. But, you know, help me with a bit of code, and someone came on and said, oh yeah, you know, I'll have a try. And so they sort of logged in and you know, gave my purse, I had a look, sorted it out for me, and then came back, and he actually works. He's like, oh, I work for Not on the High Street. I said, you should maybe, you know, have a look. So, oh, I haven't done anything like that, but I am now on Etsy, so that's fairly a new thing. So I've done it a bit back to front, really. So I've got my own website, and then thinking about the other things as well. But it's just again that management of it, and I think Not on the High Street take a, I can't remember if it's kind of the setting up or if it's just a higher percentage, but I just remember something slightly putting me off when I looked at that point.
I think it's definitely 25%.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I think it was probably that. And because when you're handmade, you know, those profit margins aren't huge, are they? And yeah, I think it probably was that put me off.
Well, because I think actually that's probably one of the great benefits of Etsy is because they provide you with foot traffic. Obviously, there's upfront, you know, like working out your SEO and making sure you tick all the boxes that Etsy has that they ask you to deliver on certain things. But the processing transaction fees are relatively minimal compared to other.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Not on the High Street is it's the amount of marketing that they do in the UK. Obviously, they're just UK based. They're not worldwide like Etsy. I think that's probably why their processing fees or whatever it is, they're just general transaction fees are so high. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I saw the products, I thought that would actually look. So even if it was just something that you looked into, I think the universe might be calling you, but definitely keep going with Etsy because, as you probably know, I'm a huge Etsy fan.
You are, and I've learned an awful lot as well. I just need to implement it all now.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, well, there's lots of things to implement with Etsy, but it is a great platform to be on, and it is so supportive. I think that you'll probably find that, you know, everybody's really happy to help one another.
Yeah, it's a great community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. So we'd love to know what the future holds for Silk Jasmine Knicker. You know, what are the goals that you've got for the future?
I think ultimately I would love to do this full time. I mean, I love my job. I love my, you know, my full time job, but I would definitely love to do this more. I enjoy kind of most sides of it really, you know, even the techie sort of admin side, I don't mind doing. So I think ultimately, eventually I'd love to do that full time. But I think the next aim would be just to get more of a balance there, really. So just to maybe stop the teaching a couple of days and just be able to have, yeah, some more time to put into the business. So I think it just gets to the stage where you think, well, what do I need now? I need to grow, but I need that time, you know, to go on to the next stage. So it's just making that jump. It's so nice to have, you know, the finance, the backing of it, and security, especially in, you know, education of, you know, the wage and the pensions, etc. But yeah, definitely at some point to gradually move over to doing this full time would be fantastic.
No, I think that's a lovely, exciting goal.
Very exciting. Yeah, great. So obviously, Like we say, you've been going for just over a year, and I know myself in business, there's always things that surprise me about what I can take as a human being, what I can achieve as a human being, as a mother as well. But what would be something that you found most surprising at being a handmade business owner now?
I think just how much there is to think of. It's just endless. You know, you kind of start these things and think, you know, I'll just make something and someone will see it and they'll buy it. And I, da-da. And it's just constant. It's like, oh, I need boxes. Oh, I need stickers. You know, and now I need this envelope and now I'm run out of cotton. And it's just constant. And then it's, oh, now I need to do my accounts and, you know, got to go to the post office. And it's just never ending. So, yeah, definitely the most surprising is just how much is involved of running a small business of any kind, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so many people would get that, because it is, you do start off, you know, oh, I just want to make some nice things, and you know, like you say, then you can, reality dawns and these things aren't actually going to sell themselves, and then it's a massive learning curve. So
yeah,
I think so many people will get that, Nicola. Obviously it's been a massive learning curve in that time. So what is your sort of business top tip that you'd love to share with other handmade business owners?
I think it's just making sure that you cover the costs of your time when you first start out. I think you see sort of so many hobbyists, and when you start at the beginning, that you just look at the product and think, oh, just give me a couple of pound, you know, that'll be fine. And then you start to realize what's involved, you know, not only in the time it takes you to make the items, but you then really, if you're going to run it as a proper business, to have a look at the time it's taking you to do all the other things, you know, all the social media side, the SEO, you know, is just constant. So I think, yeah, biggest tip would be to have a real careful look at all your costings and write everything down, and then think, well, how long has that taken me and how much do I want to be paid for it? Because, you know, you're talking about definitely less than minimum wage when you first start looking at it. You think, you know, would I go out to work and be paid that per hour? And, you know, and if you can, because you have, you know, financial support and you're, you know, maybe just a young mom at home and it's just a bit of a hobby, then that's fine if that suits you. But yeah, I think just to take a really careful look and make sure you're charging enough that you're being paid well.
Yeah, definitely wise words, because I think so many people, they don't value their talents and skills. But What you make isn't just what anyone, you know, any person can make. You know, you have to acquire those skills over a lot of people. It's over quite a number of years, or you've got to go on courses and you've really got to put a lot of effort into it. And I think that's where, you know, I always feel really sad when I can see someone that's not valued their time at all. You know, and I know with clients, I'll sometimes say, well, would you go to work for £2 an hour? And they'll be like, no, definitely not. Why are you paying yourself that?
And I think it's a great top tip, because I think if you are wanting to eventually, even if you don't set out in the first, you know, when you first get off the block, that you want to do this full time, you know, you want to have a handmade business full time, even if you think, oh, you know, maybe in a few years time I maybe would like to do this full time, if you haven't built in those costings in the first place, it's actually going to be really quite difficult to transition to doing it full time, because you're going to have a very sharp increase in pricing, which people have done. I have seen people do that quite successfully. You know, they've had a rebrand, they've changed the packaging up. It is possible, but that's a lot harder than just price properly from the start.
Definitely.
So it's been so lovely to chat with you today, Nicola. I've learned quite a lot. In fact, the one thing I haven't asked you is, And I think you've probably answered it now. Your daughter's name is Jasmine. So is that where the silk jasmine comes from?
It is. Yeah. And actually, thinking about business, I wouldn't say it's a business failure, but I did just think of that. So, yeah, I don't really know, other than it's her name, how it came about. I think it was just a very basic thought of silk. And then Jasmine, and just like, okay, that sounds nice, let's do that. But I actually had no idea at that point, which also goes back to another tip being make sure you research, is that there's another big company and their name is the other way around. And it's such, and I had no idea about that company. And had I had a proper Google and research, to be honest, I maybe should have called it something else, but it works both ways. I had a message on Instagram from someone saying, I've brought a black, I think it was a black sleep mask off you, and it's fell apart and I'm really not happy and no one's getting it back. And this was quite early on at the business. And I thought, I don't make black sleep masks. I hadn't even brought black into the colours then, thinking this is really strange. It's like, I'm really sorry, but I don't make that. And she said, yes, you do. And then she showed me the receipt and I said, oh no, I'm sorry. That's not me. It's just a very similar name. But obviously that works both ways as well, because someone might be searching for a company and come across me instead quite closely. But it is just as simple as my daughter's name.
So Nicola, where can everybody go to find you, your products, your website, etc.? What are your handles?
So website is just silkjasmine.co.uk. So on Pinterest it's UK Silk Jasmine. And then on Instagram, Silk Jasmine UK. Unfortunately, someone else had already taken the just Silk Jasmine. Frustratingly, I think they probably haven't used their account for years and they've got like 2 followers or something, but it's taken. So yeah, on Instagram, Silk Jasmine UK, and the same on Facebook as well.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I will link everything that Nicola's just said down in the show notes so you can just click straight through. Thank you very much for coming on, Nicola.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's been such a pleasure.